So, hi everybody, it's Michelle, and this is our fourth call in the opening series. It is October 29th, 2020. So happy to see you here. And so we're going to begin as we always do in Shavasana. Find a place where you can take good care of yourself. Find a place where you can have space where you're not bumping into walls or things, where you won't be bumping into other people's thoughts. Find a quiet space for yourself. Lying on your back, make sure you have support beneath your head and neck, support beneath the legs if you need it, so that the lower back is comfortable. Lie with the legs just a comfortable distance apart. Place the elbows, dig them into the earth, lift and open the heart center. So you can point the fingertips to the sky, dig the elbows in, lift and open the heart center any amount, and then release the arms to the floor. Arms are in a low V, palms up position. Let the arms rest, let the legs rest. Softly close the eyes. And just let go. Let go of whatever was happening in your day before this. Let go of the bustle and hustle and movement of getting into Shavasana. Let go of whatever else is happening in your day today. Let go of thoughts and worries. Let go even of things, fun things you're anticipating. Just let go. Truly take this time for yourself. Scan the body for any tension. And where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Soften the throat. Relax the shoulders. Feel the face. Notice if you're holding tension in the face. Often we do. Relax all the tiny muscles of the face. Let the face be soft, smooth like butter. Relax the cheeks and jaw. Relax the temples. Relax the skin of the scalp. Soften the forehead. Relax the space between the eyebrows. Let the eyes be soft. Let the gaze be behind closed eyes toward the heart center, if that's comfortable for you. Let the eyes sink back into their sockets, back toward the back brain. Let the ears recede as well, ears and eyes meeting at a point toward the back brain. Pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses. Go inward. Watch the breath. Let the mind follow the movements of the breath. Have you noticed the breath yet today? Pay attention now. Our breath is often an indicator of what's been happening in our life today, this week, what's happening this moment. Can you watch the breath without judgment? Let's see what is. Are Are you breathing high in the chest or low in the belly? Is the breath ragged or smooth? Are you breathing more into one lung than the other? Are you judging how the breath is? Can you let it all go and just watch, see what is? And just notice if in this attention to the breath, if it changes, not because you're trying to change it. Just see if it changes of its own accord. Each breath is a gift. Inhaling, feel this gift of breath. Exhale, letting go. Letting go of all cares and worries, letting go of whether there will be another breath, letting go of thoughts, desires. Each exhalation, just let go. As thoughts arise, as thoughts will, just release them as unimportant right now. As soon as you notice, just let that thought go. You can always return to it later. Your focus is on the breath. One pointed attention, the breath. A thought arises, no judgment. Let it go back to the breath. Over and over, back to the breath. Return, return to the breath. Watch the breath. And in this quiet space, know that all is well. In this moment, here and now, all is well. Allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso. Feel the breath. Bend the knees. Slowly roll to the right side. Support your head. Softly open the eyes. And use your hands to press yourself up to sitting. And returning to our virtual circle. And now camera on whenever you can. One pointed attention. Focus just here in our circle. Camera on whenever possible as you return to our circle. Thank you, Dottie. Welcome back, first back. And you look renewed and refreshed. I don't know if that's how you're feeling. That's how you look. It's really, really beautiful. And as always, the there might be many things that we like, many things that we love. We're always focused over and over again. What did I love here? What did I love here? What stays with me? What did I love? So I'd love to hear from one or two of you. What was this practice for you today? Yeah, Dottie, go ahead.
I really loved it. Andrea, I want to apologize to you. You know, it's so interesting to me how you can get older and older and you still have so much to learn. I brain dumped on Andrea. She asked me how I was. I had a bad day. And I apologize. I said, I had a stressed, terrible morning. But anyway, well, not anyway, but I realize you, that's not appropriate to do. I apologize, Andrea. And I loved the rest. What would the rest and calming my mind? And I really love doing it. I would like to make a request that you talk to a little bit more about the benefits of Shavasana. I don't do it regularly. And I know for me that information helps me. So,
right. And got it. And thank you, Dottie. And so here's the thing. Every single week, if you go back to the beginning of every call and listen to what everybody says over the last year, you will hear the benefits over and over every single week as people are saying what they loved in it. There's whole layers of the benefits every single week when you have ears to hear. So listen to what everybody's saying. One of the benefits you just underlined, for instance, hey, and thank you for this. It's like, oh my goodness, I just went splat all over Andrea. Sorry, Andrea, but I see Andrea just going like, oh, it's okay, right? Thank you for that. And then when we're in Shavasana, it's like a clean slate. And we can enter the day completely differently. And I love the way you came in with clarity and just, you know, apologizing, but not carrying stuff. But then what if one less moment like that had to happen? Because that didn't happen in the first place, because we start with Shavasana and with a clean slate. You just underlined a fabulous benefit yourself of Shavasana. So if you go back and listen to the last year of calls and everything that everybody said, we are doing nothing but talking about the benefits every single week, another layer of benefits. You can go back to the every single call. There's more layers of it. All right. And sometimes we think we need 100 different benefits. What if we just deeply heard even one of them? Like what you just said right now. What if I find that calm space, that rested mind, and I enter into a call differently? I don't need more than that to understand the benefits of Shavasana. But if you want more, every single call will give another piece of it. Okay. Thank you for that, Dottie. That's beautiful. Let's hear from one other person. What did you love in this practice of Shavasana? Is what you love. That's a benefit, right? Yeah, Andrea, go ahead. And sorry, I'm just, Dottie, for some reason, can you please, oh, there we go. I'm muting your line, Dottie. There's just a bit of noise. That's why I was distracted momentarily here. Andrea, what did you love in this practice?
I love that the inward journey, like, cause I am so busy in my head all the time, I think, in so many different ways. And just to stop, like, I actually loved the one line where you said, like, well, this is not exactly what you said, but turn the senses off and go inward. Yes, and it was kind of the first time I was like, oh, that's actually really interesting. Cause I do it when I meditate, but I don't think I thoughtfully realize that it's turning off the senses. You know what I mean? To have that inward journey. So
exactly. And I often say it, I don't explain it, but the yogis call it pratyahara. It's one of the practices, it's withdrawal of the senses. And we have an aspect of that in Shavasana. So often as entrepreneurs, and we're trained to be this way too, outward focused, out there networking, out there doing all those tasks and creating the marketing sequence and talking to our ideal clients and then talking to our team. And so we're out there acting in the world, and all those things are beautiful. And I encourage us to do that and go ahead, ready, fire, aim, and go be on the court. It's so important. But if we're always only on the court and we're doing this and we're doing that and we're doing this thing and they're talking to this person, well, we can't even think anymore. And we don't take inspired action. Our actions aren't strategic. And so we end up working way too hard and doing the wrong stuff. And we kind of go down that spiral. So the yogis teach pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses, exactly that, go inward. So letting the eyes withdraw, letting the ears recede back. And sometimes in Shavasana, we haven't done this here, but you guys can try this at home, practice this at home. You can wrap, tensor bandage. We do that often in Iyengar yoga. We'll just wrap a tensor bandage around the head, around the eyes as we're doing Shavasana to aid in that withdrawal of senses. We always take the glasses off. You can put an eye bag on, right? So to aid that withdrawal of the senses again. I have practiced this with a blanket covering my head, right? So pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses, instead of being out there acting on the world, gathering inward so that we make our decisions from a very different place. So thank you, Andrea and Dottie. So there's two benefits today. I'm so glad you asked that question, Dottie. There's two benefits just today. And if you go back and listen to every time somebody's saying what they loved, every single time there's another layer of benefit that I'm giving to you, because I can't, I could teach just Shavasana for an entire full week and we would not get to all the layers of benefits, but I can give them to you piece by piece by piece, week by week, so you can hear another layer of it. Beautiful, thank you. Anything else wanting to be said without which we can't go forward? Anything else? Okay, I just wanted to start with a couple of announcements so I don't forget. It was different order in my schedule, but was it really? Oh, no, it wasn't. Goodness, it's the right order. All right, so I got announcements. I'm shocked. It doesn't usually happen. All right, don't forget to say hello in the chat so we can mark you as having attended so we know you're here and we can take care of you the best we can. Helps us take care of you, helps us helps you be seen too. It's great to be seen. Upcoming call dates, just a reminder that our Quantum Leaps half day virtual retreat is coming up a week from today. So we begin at our usual time, but we have double the time together. It's a half day from 12:30 to 3:30 Mountain Time. And this retreat is foundational for everything that we do. It's foundational for having a fabulous 2021, for having a fabulous year. And so often what we think that we want for our year is not even what we want, but we don't even know it. And I've done this both at Quantum Leaps and parallel related teachings. I've done this in VIP days with students. And it's shocking when we see the mismatch of what we think we want, or sometimes we don't even know what we want, or we've got to articulate what we want and actually make it manifestable, real. And so in a half day, we can completely change the course of what's going to happen to us over the next year. So you're going to want to be there. Please make sure that you're well rested. Please make sure that you fill out the survey. The survey that precedes this retreat is due tomorrow, Friday, October 30th. There's a link posted in the Facebook group for your convenience if you haven't filled that out yet. And the survey itself is going to give you a snapshot of where you are, what matters. Both of these pieces are instrumental for our businesses. So looking forward to seeing you there. A reminder about the schedule change. Hopefully most of you have this on your calendars now. Practical applications was originally scheduled to start Tuesday, December 8th. We're going to be starting, on the 10th, we're going to start Tuesday, December 8th instead. So we're moving it from the Thursday to the Tuesday to begin. All right, so that's it. Some very simple announcements for today. I'm super excited about it. So this is our last call in the opening series. I'm super excited about the support coming up for you. Goodness, I didn't miss one. It's right on my page in front of me. The Why Virtual Workshop is Thursday, November 19th from 10 till 4 Mountain Time. So I'm super excited about November for you, because we have first a half day, then it's not even on my announcements here, but make sure you've got Empowering Stories for Entrepreneurs series on your calendar. It's every day, the second week of November it's in your calendar. You should have that calendar posted somewhere near you. Mine is right beside me here. Let me just grab it out so I can actually give you those dates on my announcement sheets. So Empowering Stories, make sure you've got this handout always near you. Mine is always near me. November 9th to the 13th. So 12:30 daily. We go for, you know, block out an hour because you're going to want some time for notes and follow up and so on. Block out an hour each day to be there. We'll go probably for more like a half an hour to three quarters of an hour. But this is, we haven't done this series in a couple of years. And it is, we've got outstanding speakers lined up who have built amazing things in their companies, all tapping into the power of story in order to grow their businesses. So I know I'm going to be learning from each one of them and have learned from each one of them, and you're not going to want to miss it. So lots of amazing support through November, a half day, an entire week, another full day. Is going to be an outstanding November to set you up for 2021 in a way that we have never done in the before. We've never had a November like that in the 10-year history of this community. And I'm super excited. It's the best November we've ever lined up, ever. All right. So, wins. I would love to hear some wins. I had a little, this is the part that I had a little later in my notes, but entrepreneurs so often we're always looking for what's the next thing, and like Andrew was pointing to, like, we're always in action doing that stuff, but that stuff is going to stop if we don't first pause to look inward and B, look back to see the beautiful things that have happened. And when we haven't let that into our bones, into our bodies, actually incorporated that inside of us, we're gonna burn out. We're not going to keep going forward because we haven't yet received what's already been given. So it's a crucial, crucial step for entrepreneurs. It's a crucial thing to do. I do it in multiple ways daily. I did it very publicly for eWomen Network in front of hundreds, recounting wins yesterday night, right? And so it's a very much a daily part of my practice, and often, you know, more than once a day, and certainly weekly. So what is it that you have? What is it that you would like to celebrate? It could be that you showed up and did Shavasana. It could be that you're here present right now. It could be, you know, what's rolling for you that you want to celebrate here together? Who'd like to share? And sometimes if you feel like, wow, I don't have any wins, that's a great time to raise your hand and trust in the universe that thing that you want to celebrate will come up as you're raising your hand or as you're opening your mouth. I have done that countless times. I promise. Didn't know what the win was. The win came because I raised my hand. Andrea, thank you.
Not necessarily a personal win for me, but my youngest son came to visit. So we got to spend 5 days with him, which is super cool. And it was just a last minute, hey, I got some time off. I want to come and see you guys. So it was awesome.
Wins of our kids or our loved ones, this is huge. My daughter had a very challenging, so I love that. And you know, after all, in the end, I was just in a private session this morning with a client, and we were just talking about exactly that, you know, the real wins that we're going to remember are those of connection and love and being together. And these are so often we just overlook them, like the sun rising this morning or the blue sky, or we forget the simple things. My daughter went through a very stressful time last night with a late night exam, and she ended up just, you know, she's pretty sure she did really, really, really well. And she was even, you know, feeling sick, you know, just over it. And all the symptoms just disappeared when the exam stopped. And like, so celebrating the wins of those that we love and getting to be with them. This is huge. This is not to be underestimated. This is right at the core of why we build our businesses. So we have the time and the energy to spend time with those we love. And if they seem like they're pulling in opposite directions, then there's some refiguring that we need to do at the inner world level and what we're doing so that they're no longer pulling in opposite directions, right? Andrea, thank you. Beautiful. I love it. Let's hear another win. Who would like to share? What would you like to celebrate here? Wendy, go ahead.
I had a fantastic call yesterday with Marie, and just want to thank her for supporting me and reminding me why I said yes, everything I said yes to.
Thank you, Wendy. I love it that your beautiful win celebrates both Andrea and Wendy. You're celebrating other people, you know? And Wendy, thank you for that beautiful celebration of Maria. I know Maria's held space for me countless times. Utterly changed my life. And so, you know, I don't, in this company, I don't make suggestions that I don't think we're going to be life-changing. I don't point you in the direction of anyone that I don't think is going to be super impactful for you and your business and your life. And with Marie, it's not our first rodeo. We've been playing together since 2010. And again, countless times, this beautiful soul has changed my life. So Wendy, thank you for celebrating Marie and celebrating you and replacing your stake in the ground and remembering who you are and what matters and celebrating the leaps that you've taken, coming back to that presence. And we'll remember and forget, but that re-remembering is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Thank you. Love it. Yes. All right. Anything else wanting to be shared before we move on? Okay. So it's funny. I have been telling you that we've got a little exercise that I haven't done in this community in a long, long time. And then I keep postponing it. And I think maybe there's been a little editor around it or something like that in me too, because like something else keeps coming up. And I was contemplating this exercise a lot for us this morning. But I think it's because it comes from the roots of writing and words. And I used to do a lot more teaching and training about that many, many years ago. And as Marie knows very well, the teachings and trainings are coming full circle, because as entrepreneurs, we need to master words and we need to master stories. I was just on Sandra Yancey's success panel yesterday. That's why I was sharing my wins with hundreds of people. Sandra Yancey called me and asked me if I would be on her success panel last night. And she was reiterating how much story matters, how much words matter, how much like that is what is the, you know, that's what creates the business, right? But this is a little playful exercise that I don't think we've done in a long, long time, but I want to bring it back because I think it's crucial for us as entrepreneurs to be able to play, to be able to understand at deeper levels how the stories work. To one story can teach multiple things. And here I'm looking at both Andrea and Marie, right? I know that you both know this very, very deeply. When we just let go and play and don't try to create something. So just as Dottie helped us to see this today, how both Dottie and Andrea's wins around Shavasana, it's like instead of this go, 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 go world, that when we pause, something new can arise. Or like Wendy and Andrea, when we look back, something new can arise. When we're playful in our minds and hearts and spirits and we don't try to just like beeline over there, we can end up with something that's so much deeper, where we get there so much quicker and it can be so much fun, but it's not necessarily first off, we don't always see the benefits right on the surface. I think that's why I had an editor around it. I'm just being real with you guys, right? On the surface of it, we might not see the benefit, but as we unpack it, it is hugely rich. But I don't want you to think about that. Just have fun, play. I'm gonna give you a couple prompts and don't worry about what comes. We're just gonna write together for a couple of minutes, all right? And there is nothing you need to learn here, nothing you need to take away, nothing you need to do. The only thing that I ask you to do is just keep the pen to the page and just keep writing. And even if you have to say, Michelle told me to keep writing, I have no idea what to write. I don't even like doing that, you know, or blue dog. I don't know. Now you're all going to write about blue dogs, you know, whatever it is that comes up. It doesn't matter. Just keep the pen to the page. All right. So, and then we'll unpack it afterwards. So just close your eyes first. Just have something to write with beside you. And then close your eyes, because I just want to gather the energy here a little bit. We already did Shavasana, but I want to gather the energy. Just take some time to breathe and be present. Let go of all the words that I said just now. Let go of what came before my words, Shavasana, the rest of your day. And just breathe and be. Relax the jaw. Relax the tongue all the way to its root in the throat. Let the lips be touching, not touching. Relax the lips. Relax the face. Let the chin be parallel to the floor, neither way up in the air, like ego, nor down, like shame. Just focused here, present. Feel the softness of the eyes. Notice if there's any anticipation inside you, thinking of the next moment. Don't, just be here. Nowhere else we need to be. No place we need to go to. Just here, present, breathing. I want you to bring to mind, just think of something you find really boring. This is something boring. Maybe it's, I don't know, putting toast in the toaster, eating stale bread, or talking with a boring friend. I don't know. First thing that comes to mind, choose that. If you've got it, just something boring, just nod your head. Eyes still closed, being present with the exercise here. Thank you. Okay. Now see yourself, imagine yourself doing this activity, whatever that boring thing is. Can you see yourself doing it? Just be in that moment. Doing that boring, boring thing. Now I want you to let that switch. See a character. Just somebody, anybody else. It could be from a TV show or somebody you know or somebody you just made up or somebody you used to know. First person that pops into your mind. See them doing this same activity. Boring, boring activity. I'm going to give you some prompts as you open your eyes and we'll start to write, but I just want you to start writing about this person doing this thing. You can even start out with words like, this is really boring. Here's the first thing I got to do. And then just keep the pen to the page. Short while, I'll give you more to write about. So open your eyes, start writing. Begin, keep the pen to the page. Just keep on writing, just keep on writing. Now let this person who's doing this, they will call this character, go deeply into this activity in the wrong way. This boring thing, let them do it the wrong way enthusiastically. Let it be big and compulsive. Maybe like my autistic nephew, you know, has to have your toast at 7 a.m. or something bad will happen, or she has to fill the freezer with loaves and loaves of bread. Then she runs out, the power goes out, it all falls. They're doing the same thing, but something happens and they're doing it the wrong way, but they just keep on doing it that wrong way. They just keep on doing it. Watch them, write about it, keep the pen to the page. Don't think, just keep writing. And have somebody else walk into the room. Doesn't matter, anybody. First person that comes to mind. Have them try to make them change, but let that first person totally resist course correction. Have them try to make them change, but they will not. Watch what happens and just write what comes. Just watch them, watch the scene, write what comes. Don't think, but they keep the pen to the page. Somebody tries to have them course correct, make a change, but they will not. Keep writing. And finish up the last sentence or two, taking the writing to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. Okay, finishing up, looking up when you're done so that we can move forward. I love it. The words on the page caught you. Everybody's still like, this one last word, this one last piece. Good for you. I'm so happy to see that. All right, let's hear first from one or two of you, just whatever, trust what comes, just whatever's bubbling up, a sentence or two about the experience of writing. What did you notice about how you were playing? What did you notice about the doing of this experience? Let's just hear briefly a sentence or two from one or two of you. Who would like to share first? Was that a hand, Wendy? I couldn't say. I looked away just for a moment. Marie, thank you. Wendy, that was not a hand. Okay, we'll go with Marie first. Thank you.
For me, it wasn't a boring activity. It was a boring conversation.
Love it. Different places to begin. Everyone's going to start in a different place. Let's hear about the experience of writing. What did you notice about how you were playing? The more we can watch how we're playing. Yeah, go ahead, Mary Kay.
This was hard because I couldn't think of when I get bored.
Good so to know.
I just wrote about something I don't like to do.
Perfect. And so we pick up the exercise in exactly the way that's perfect for us. Love that. And different things arise. Knowing that you're never bored itself brings profound insights. I have assigned boredom to prior members of our community. So we never allow ourselves to be bored. It tells us something about our lives, right? And, you know, I love the Abraham Hicks materials. They say boredom, it's the gateway to contentment, joy, freedom, and so on, right? Because if you can feel it, there's a kind of stillness in and around boredom. It's just on the verge of contentment. So if we'll never let ourselves go there, and I'm not saying that that's what's happening for you, but just wonder, just a great place to journal and investigate. That means, is there some quality of pushing that I'm always doing? Or is there something that I'm not allowing myself a level of pleasure or joy or, you know, what, just some, a place to investigate. There's multiple things that could be happening in and around that. But I have assigned in multiple private sessions, like go away and be bored and talk to me about it in a week. Right? So thank you for that, Mary Kay. Beautiful. Yeah, so I saw Mary Kay and then Dottie. So Mary Kay.
What is being bored? What is that?
What is it to be bored? So interesting. I would say go away and investigate that yourself. What does it even feel like to be bored, to not feel engagement or life about something, to be just, you know, like in our culture, a lot of people have been bored in COVID. I saw a song about a playful song about boredom, you know, because some people are at home with nothing to do. For me, it's the opposite. There's lots to do. I was like, no, twiddling their thumbs. I know it's not this group, right? Probably, right? Twiddling their thumbs, nothing's happening. Ho hum, right? But to investigate what that means for you, that'd be a great activity. What would that even mean for me, right? Could look up the dictionary definition, but what would it mean? People have had profound breakthroughs in this community from that assignment. It's because sometimes we weren't allowed to be bored. Sometimes if you're bored, that means you're not being productive like you're supposed to be. And there's a mother's or father's voice about what we're supposed to do in the world. And so when we're still carrying that, we won't let ourselves go over to boredom. So thank you. I hope that gives you a place to begin and be on a connection call with somebody about that. Mary Kay, this is not the first place of this investigation as we're doing this playful writing, but it is one of the side effects that can happen. A great place of investigation for you. So thank you, beautiful. Dottie.
I found that exercise very helpful. I was like Mary Kay. At first, I'm like, I don't get bored. I'm always doing something. And then I thought about it and I thought, oh, if I have to name something, it's when I do something I don't want to do, like dishes or scrub my floors or scrub my bathroom or whatever. And then I thought about it and I thought, and then you went on to the next question, and an old boyfriend of mine who was a real creep came to my mind. And then he was telling the person what to do or what not to do, and she didn't like it at all. Mm. And what I saw from that is that I don't allow myself to be bored. When I do the dishes, I turn the television on to listen to the news. I don't allow myself to be quiet. I like to read my Bible. I love that. It's quiet, but I'm doing something. Right. So I'm always doing something. And then what the second thing I saw was people have to be a little careful to telling me what to do something. That guy, that old boyfriend, was telling her do this, do that, and she didn't like it at all.
Mm-hmm. A couple minutes of writing a story from a simple prompt, and we can learn things right in our bodies in ways that, I mean, Dottie, you could have attended, you know, 3 days of workshops about, hey, are we always doing stuff? And it all just lands in our head. And then it just goes right past. And instead, in just a couple of minutes, and this is why one of the many, many reasons I wanted to do this with you, a couple minutes of writing the story, we get embodied knowledge and wisdom inside of us in a couple of minutes. It is a profound, can be a profound and life-changing experience. And then also insight into oneself about how we be. And I wanted to give you this particular little exercise, so thank you for this. We could spend the entire day unpacking this little exercise. We won't. There's lots of things I want to get to with you, but we could. And we would find more and more layers about ourselves, about what matters to us, and so on. So anything else burning to be said, without which we can't go forward? So I want to tell you some very explicit little, I want to give you a fish. I want to give you some explicit little things about this little exercise. Okay, thank you. So I wanted to give you this exercise for multiple reasons. One of the things is that don't stories tell us? We know so much more about story than we think. And we just write it down and then we know that we start to learn. We don't know it consciously, but we know it. Isn't there something about how life truly works, how life truly is, when we just write down a little story without thinking? Because whether it's a boring conversation, or for me, I went with the toaster, or whatever it is, and your story might have been a little, well, it might have been, have had a completely different shape, that's fine. But, and Dottie, if you can mute your line, for your line became, is unmuted. Thanks. In mine, it was a toaster that really wasn't working. And the person was just trying. Somebody comes along, and isn't this like a lot like a little mini entrepreneurial journey? Because isn't that what our potential clients are doing in our own area? Trying, bumping their heads up against that thing. They're bored, or they're doing it compulsively, or they're doing something that they don't want to do. They're stuck in a way. And then we need to come along, but they're still doing that thing. So what is that dynamic? What does it actually feel like as you write it out? We're going to learn things about that dynamic, because we really need to know about that as entrepreneurs. This person is stuck doing it in this way. It's our job to help be the catalyst for change. That's one of the things that we can notice in this story. Another thing that we can notice in this little story, and again, it manifested in all different ways, depending on, you know, for each one of us. There's many different stories as there are people in this room and those listening to my voice afterwards, right, in the recording. So another thing is this thing that we're bumping up against, and I put it over into a character, but there's something of us in that character. We're the one writing it after all, and our words have roots. I'm not saying that character is us, all right? So it's more complex than that. But for now, there's something of us in that. And the thing that we bump into, there's wisdom there. The thing that we bump into, remember we were talking about transmutation last week? What is that thing that's bugging us? What's that thing that we compulsively do? What's that thing that's annoying? What's that thing that, and maybe it's at the level of the toaster in mine, or maybe it's like Dottie, that person coming in. And she said, you know, boy, be careful telling me what to do. There's a button there. We want to know what our buttons are, whether it's in the way that we investigated it with Mary Kay and flexibility last time. Do you remember that? So in transmutation, it's like, you know, as I write about that thing about why it's not going to work. And then there's something about my core values that's in that place that's sticky. Story helps us find some of the sticky spots. And there's not just one sticky spots, but there's going to be themes for us. With Mary Kay, it was flexibility. With Wendy, it might not be flexibility at all. It might be something else that comes up, right? We've seen this transmutation. Each one of you has experienced this transmutation process at least a couple of times, right? Where are the sticky places? We can find them in our writing. And then we can start to do either editor 101, like we talked about last time, or editor 201. Can I find my core values there in those sticky places, right? So I just wanted to do a little bit of playful writing here to remind you of the deep power of story, remind you of some of the themes, some of the things we've been working on. Transmutation, can I find that sticky spot, that place of, you know, inner dirt? And then that's the place where I want to dig. That's the place where I can find that inner gold, right? And also to pick up another theme from this series, do you remember we were talking about inspired action? So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the inspired action blueprint. And Alex Mendosian said, the only thing that's worse than running in the wrong direction is running in the wrong direction enthusiastically. Stories give us access to how things go without us having to experience it directly. Well, here, let a character go, you know, in the wrong direction enthusiastically and watch what happens. We know that we as entrepreneurs can course correct. As long as we course correct, we can go as enthusiastically as we want in that direction. But what's going to happen? I don't know if it happened in your story or not, but if that person's resisting course correction and they're doing that thing and they're stuck there, it's probably not going well for them. Right? We can see what happens when we do that. And if in this, if we pay attention to what some level may have happened in your story that you just wrote, we don't have to worry about running in the wrong direction enthusiastically. So long as we allow that, in this case, that person who came in the door, allow that course correction. Find that, remember Mary Kay was talking about flexibility. Find that flexibility. Allow ourselves to take a new turn. And the story, again, you might go, oh, I must have done it wrong because my story doesn't say that. I just noticed that, that's just an editor. But these are some of the themes that could come out of these stories. And again, if we had all day, we would hear all these stories. We would play more with them. I just wanted to give you a taste of this and use it also as a springboard and as a way to remind us of some of the themes of the opening series. And then going back to the first call in the opening series, this is our last call in the opening series today. Our first call in the opening series, do you remember Ron Weasley from Harry Potter? And he's riding on the broom, the Quidditch match. And he just takes the lucky potion. There's nothing in the lucky potion, except that all of a sudden he starts trusting that he has the wind at his back. He starts knowing that there's something bigger than him. And he becomes like Ron version one, Ron version two. Ron version one is gonna have one kind of life. Ron version two is gonna have an entirely different life. We watched him win the Quidditch match and everything, right? Because there's trust, there's faith. He knows that he's got the wind at his back. There's something bigger than him. This opening series is all about that. Every successful entrepreneur taps into this. Everyone that I know taps into this force, but we don't always talk about it. And then we just get busy, busy doing stuff. This person, if you followed the prompt, and if you didn't, don't worry, it turned out perfectly for you. If you followed the prompt as given, and if you didn't, it was perfect for you. If you follow the prompt as given, and if you didn't, it's perfect for you. Hear that part, okay? But if you did follow the prompt as given, and you can do it again afterwards and follow the prompt as given if you didn't, right? And it's perfect for you. But if you follow the prompt as given, this person who's like mine was, you know, at the end jamming a fork in the toaster, just really getting frustrated, you know? That person does not know they have the wind at their back. That person is not trusting something larger. That person thinks that they're all alone. That person is against that second person coming in, is in a world that is divided, in a world that is hard, in a world that takes action to figure stuff out. That person is suffering. That person is missing all of the opening series in one short little writing. Whether your writing went that way or not, don't worry if it didn't. All of these pieces, a whole reminder of the places we've been in the opening series, of why it matters, of an embodied learning, like Dottie pointed out for us, of like, hey, I'm always doing, always doing, always doing. And Mary Kay talking about that too, I'm never bored. A whole bunch can come out of one small writing practice. And one of the things, like I say, to remind us of everywhere we've been in the opening series. All right, take a moment just to jot down one aha from this segment of this little exercise I've been wanting to do with you for weeks. One aha for you. And then wherever you're at, you've got the, hopefully just at least a word or two jotted down so you know what that aha is for you. I'd like to hear just a sentence, not more than two, just very briefly, just let it land like this from one or two of you. What's your aha? Because I want to know what you're hearing from this. We haven't done something like this on these calls. Marie, you've done this. I don't think anybody else here has done this with me in this way on these calls, on a Thursday call ever, because we haven't done it in years. I want to hear what you heard from this. What's your aha from this little writing exercise? Let's hear from one or two of you. Yeah, Andrea.
There's something bigger at play here. And I have a choice to decide how that is going to affect me.
Can you hear how Andrea said that? That was so embodied. That was so real. Those words have deep roots from a small little writing practice. And again, we could dive into that for the next 2 hours and we'd find more and more and more layers there. What this thing is, I encourage you, Andrea, to lean in with the community, to post on the Facebook page, to tap into all the resources in this community, myself, Marie, others on the team, because this is really, you know, this is really big, right? Thank you. Yeah. One small writing piece, one small story, a whole lot moves. There's a reason this company is called Story Freedom. There's so many aspects to how we become free through our stories. Thank you. Let's hear one more. Yeah, Marie.
I have ahas running on two levels. So on a business level, I heard that our clients are in the same stuck place as the person in my story. And then I come along as the agent of change. So that's kind of a cool perspective. On a personal level, for all the meditation practice that I've done, there, like when you're actively practicing, there is no boredom. So I'm just sitting in this place of, there's different perspectives on this word boredom. So I'm sitting with that.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. To me, boredom is a doorway. It's an opening. It's a place worthy of investigation. And I want to, so I'm so glad you said this. And this from Bernard Beckwith. He's one of the film, The Secret, and a profound teacher. And one of the things that he taught me years ago is, what is the nature of? What is the nature of dot, dot, dot? Very empowering question. It's like, I can't let myself, why am I bored? Well, because of all these bad things probably we're going to say, or I can't let myself become bored because, like my chest collapses and contracts when I say those things. when I ask those questions about boredom, they contract. They're not necessarily empowering questions. What is the nature of is a very empowering question. Boy, I'm angry right now. Was our boy, am I fill in the blank, whatever it is. Boy, am I upset? Boy, am I whatever. And instead of staying on the surface of things, ask what is the nature of, what's the nature of boredom? It's like what Mary Kay was starting to investigate, right? And Marie is also like a number of you wanting to investigate this. Dottie pointed to it too, right? What's the nature of boredom? That is a profound investigation. And again, this is not a introductory level teaching. If I'm out there giving a talk, I'm not teaching this stuff because people will go, what? And if some of you right now are going, what? That's okay too. Come back to it and you're going to find gold here. But I'm trusting that there's ears to hear. There's ears here to hear the gold. Am I running and not even ever allowing myself to be bored? Do I have some attachment to that word boredom? Like somehow if I'm bored, I'm not productive. And that's cultural. We have that as a culture. If I'm bored, that means I'm not being productive or I'm wasting my life or I'm not doing something useful. But as entrepreneurs, we're so driven. The word bored can unplug. The word bored, like I say, in the Abraham Hicks teaching, and Louise Hay calls them the most profound spiritual teachers on the planet, something like that. They talk about that as the doorway to contentment. There's some cool stuff there for entrepreneurs and for us as human beings. All right. Anything else wanting to be said without which we cannot go forward? Yeah, Dottie, go ahead.
I missed what you said about, I totally agree with what you say, that boredom is a little bit of an orphan spirit, that you have to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And because you didn't get what you needed in being taken care of. I've heard this from another teacher recently. And I think it's brilliant. And I want to know what I can do with, I was angry that old boyfriend who happened to be a jerk came in and told the lady what to do. I didn't like it. It was gave me a great awareness of how I'm so sensitive to how people speak to me, but I don't know what to do with it.
Brilliant. Thank you for this question. So another deeper dive and then one more step in it, the whole transmutation process. So there's a handout about this. So I don't want to go through the handout piece by piece. It's over there on the Facebook page. You can access it there. But I'm just going to go through some of the essentials of it. Because when I find that place that has lots of energy around it, right, negative energy around it, whether it's like, here's why I can't sell stuff. Here's why I can't, you know, my company is never going to get there. When there's energy around it, that's transmuting inner dirt to inner gold. There's something of value there that tells me what my core values are. So the process goes something like this, Dottie, and I encourage you to practice this with, you know, you can get on connection calls, you can play with it on the Facebook page, all the different resources that we have in this community. First, pause like you're doing here and notice, right? Notice what you're feeling that's rising up in you and that tidal wave of energy in it. I was like, whoa, if you've ever felt that before, raise your hand around whatever it is, right? As human beings, we feel these things. And sometimes what we try to do then is just press that down because we think I'm a good person. I'm a good girl. I'm a good, you know, that's a bad feeling about something negative. And that is exhausting. That's a recipe for exhaustion. Instead, as one of my teachers has taught me years ago, that power behind it, it has negativity attached to it, but the power behind it is the power of our true self, is the power of our big self, is the power of us with the universe behind us. If you think of just the magnitude of it, it's just got some negativity attached to it. But if you think of how it goes, let it teach you how powerful you are by how powerful a force it is instead of trying to press it down. If this could be, this is worth the entire price of admission for the year. If you just heard what I said and implement, did you hear what I said? Instead of trying to push that down, we understand that that's something of our big self and we can tap into that geyser force of energy and use it. I haven't told you exactly how to use it yet, but if that makes sense, you raise your hand. Thank you. Brilliant. All right. Observe it, feel it. Don't think that you need to change it. Just like we don't need to change the breath in Shavasana. So this is a transmutation process. Okay. Pause, observe it, feel it. Don't think you have to change it. Don't think anything's gone wrong. Just like we don't need to change the breath in Shavasana. It's another reason that we practice Shavasana, to practice that quality. Okay. Just witness it. Right now, I'm really triggered. I don't like that guy, whatever the thing is for you. For Dottie, it's like, I don't like that guy walking in. It's pushing my buttons. Be gentle with yourself in that moment. Just surrender to that. Name it. I'm just angry that he's an angry guy. Name it. Again, feel it. And feel it as power. At first, there might be been more of the negativity around it. The second time around, as you're naming it and feeling it, name it as power. This is something that tells you how much you've got the universe behind you when we have ears to hear it or interpret it differently, okay? Know that there's probably some kind of old pain connected to it. That's exactly what Dottie is showing us here so beautifully. Thank you, Dottie, for this example. There's energy that is beyond what's happening right now because it's attached to something old. Like in this moment, Dottie's given us the perfect example for transmutation here and understanding this process. I'm just writing a story about a guy who walks in and some kind of not me fictional character, for instance, or somebody that I know. And this thing goes, whoa, right? I know that there's energy that exceeds a moment of putting pen to paper when I take the moment to pause and I don't judge it. I know that there's some old stuff there that I just excavated. Good for me. How wonderful that I can feel the force of how big I am in its power, instead of trying to push it down. And how wonderful that I know that it's connected with something old that I'm in the process of transmuting, of changing that energy to something helpful for me. So slow it down. And then start to notice, well, what's the story attached to that? And then what's the gift? There's something that's been crossed that matters to you. And again, all this is in the handout. I'm going through it pretty quickly here because I want to get onto one more gift for you today before we end this opening series, all right? There is something that's been crossed that matters to you that's pointing to those core values. And with Dottie, it would take more gentle investigation. It might be, and to name a few, and Dottie could find somebody who could be on a connection call. They could name 10 things and she'd go, oh, that's the one. She would know. In that moment, right? When she's not judging it, trying to push it down, trying to make it into something else, like just observing, just like the way we observe the breath in Shavasana. I might say to Dottie, for instance, oh, it's that, like, don't disrespect other people. But that might not be Dottie's. It might not be that. It might be yelling demeans people. It might be don't create power over. People should be treated equally. Like, I don't, can you see that those are similar, but not the same thing? And it might be one of those or something a little bit different, but there's something there in Dottie's deep core values that has been crossed, or there wouldn't be this geyser of energy. And Dottie can start to go, I wonder what it is. And then instead of going, geez, I've got to be a good girl, and she represses all that, and then she's exhausted by the end of the day, and then she's trying so hard, and then she runs around like a chicken with a head cut off, and like a lot of entrepreneurs are doing out there. Instead, she goes, woohoo, I just found something that's bigger than this moment. Let me investigate. And she runs to her journal and she gets on a connection call with somebody, a dream enabler, somebody in this community, not somebody who's going to go, what are you doing? whatever. Who's just going to replicate that, right? And she investigates. Something has been crossed that matters to you. And at the heart of that's gold. That's the uniqueness of you. That's the uniqueness of your company. That's the uniqueness of so far beyond investigating, you know, doing a market survey or whatever, like all that stuff. All that's important too. I'm not dissing that. But when I can find at that deep level who I am and how I serve in ways that are uniquely me, that have exactly my stamp and signature on it, I'm beyond competition. And also, I don't have to run around so afraid. And I will know that I have the wind at my back and that it's not just me alone cut off from the universe. Because in that moment of that deepest pain, Dottie's got that, you know, you could hear it in Dottie, right? That guy. At that moment, I know it's a place worthy of investigation. I can find my deepest gifts there. So that moment has its ickiness unplugged. I don't know, the word icky came up, you know, that and that pushing it down, it starts to unplug that. And we end up stopping all the leaking of energy. We end up with so much more energy. We end up finding out who we actually are. take a moment, jot down the thing that was most important to you in this. This is a review and an expansion, because I said we would go more through what transmutation process is. Maybe you did transmutation story freedom, but we don't do it the way we do it here. How is it connected with the opening series? And how do I actually do it instead of me just telling you it, giving you a fish? How does the process actually work so you can own it, create it, and do it for yourselves, right? So jot down the most important thing for you. What's your aha here? Keep jotting down. I was hoping to share a picture with you and I forgot to mark it off this morning. So take another minute and then I'm hoping I can find the picture for you before we end today. If not, I'll share it another time. Oh, yay, I found it. Okay. Okay, let's hear from one or two of you. This was a Dottie. Thank you for that example. That's a really deep and beautiful dive into how, if you got the gist of how transmutation actually works so you can own it for yourself, if you think you got that, raise your hand. Something of the energy of how this works. Fantastic. If you're not sure, you can go back and listen to the recording and don't worry, you don't have to get everything all at once. We'll come in from different angles, different routes. It's all okay, right? Sometimes if we're in the midst of that, stuff happening, we can't hear it yet. And don't worry, that's why, again, we're in community. That's why there's multiple roads of support in the community. That's why we come back around to things through different angles, all right? What I'd like to hear now is just from one or two of you, what is that aha that you just wrote down? Or maybe one that will just come up as you're raising your hand right now. What did you hear for you that matters to you? What's your aha? Who would like to share? So a deep dive into how transmutation works. And that was my favorite. I've been teaching this for years. That was my personal favorite explanation of how this works. Because Dottie, you gave us that example. Thank you. What did you hear? Because just I heard it. It's like, oh, well, nice for me. But, you know, Andrea, go ahead.
A reiteration of how I deal with emotion. Or how I've come to deal with emotion. And it's leaning into what bothers you so that you could actually find out what the real issue is. It's kind of like the fight is never about the cap on the toothpaste. It's always about something that's below it, like a lack of respect or not feeling heard or whatever that might be. So it was a reiteration of that for me. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And I was just training in another context just this week. And the question that someone posed to me was, how do I get out there? Because I can't get my company out there. I've got to go network. I've got to go meet people. I'm not doing it. But under this answers so many questions for our companies, because underneath that, as we started to dig in, because what I did is in that group, I just said, well, okay, well, tell us what you do. And she did really easily. I'm like, well, you just got out there. What's the problem? <You know? laughs> She's like, yeah, but I feel safe here. It's not really about getting out there, is it? Oh, this thing matters to me so much that I don't necessarily feel safe. So what's underneath? Oh, okay. So my advice to her is like, get on connection calls with people that you love and adore here. And now, and then, you know, ask them for somebody that feels safe to them. It's like one degree further out. So that tactical thing in our companies about getting out there, and we can hear tactics until the cows come home and we're still freaking not going to do it until we find out what's underneath. So I love how you put it, Andrea. This is a powerful technique for our businesses and our lives. What's underneath? Because sometimes any structure will work, any system will work. And I'm not saying one's not better than the other, but if we don't get at this level, none of them will work. Thank you. For whichever thing that we're trying to do. Thank you. I love that. Let's hear from one more of you. I want to hear what you're hearing in this for you. What's your aha? And Andrea, that's telling me you heard. You heard. Wendy, yes. Thank you.
I wrote down the tidal wave teaches me about my strength and power. Don't stuff it. Let it be and feel it.
Thank you. As entrepreneurs, we leak energy all over the place. And then we end up exhausted. We get burned out on how we're supposed to help people. This is one of the biggest ways I know of that we leak energy, because especially women are prone to this. We're nice girls, right? It's our taught is horrible, right? So I'm not supposed to feel that. Only bad people feel that. I'm better than that. And that's like all of that layer upon layer of pushing it down. But it's a geyser. It's our true self. It's our big self. It's all who we are. We're going to push that down with, oh my, recipe for exhaustion. Let me feel the power of that. Yes, I know it's got negativity attached to it, but I've been working with the mind in Shavasana so I can separate out those things, or I can learn to. And I can see that it's got huge power. Yeah, it's got negativity at this moment attached to it, but that negativity is going to teach me anyway about my core values. So that's all good. And then I learn, not because somebody told me that I am bigger than I think, but because I feel it in the power in my body. In some of my hardest moments, they teach me that I'm bigger than any obstacle. Those hard moments, as I learn to transmute them, can teach me that nobody's stopping me. Nobody can. And again, those are just words until we start doing this practice more and more and see and actually feel that power in our body. So Wendy, brilliant and beautiful. Yes, you got it. All right. That is the best we have. Marie, have you ever heard transmutation clearer or better than that? That was my favorite ever.
It's been a very different approach. Yeah, it's intriguing.
and that was like a, that was, a, I don't want to say this is a, not, you know, that was like intriguing. I love that, actually, intriguing, because for me, this is my favorite ever. Marie might have gone, well, yeah, because Marie has heard this in many different ways, many different times. And I love that openness and gentleness, like a whole different way of looking at it. Thank you for that. I love that your face is so lit up about this, Marie. It's like, this is my favorite way of explaining what's at the heart of this. ever. And I hear you guys hearing it, right? May not be able to haven't implemented it yet. I see you, Dottie, but this is huge. Dottie, go ahead.
So I really do love what you just taught us, but now I don't know. And I see that underneath me being mad is that I wasn't respected as a child. And so I'm very sensitive to being told what to do. I take it as disrespected if it doesn't have a soft tone and coming from who I think is a soft person. But I don't know what to do with it. I mean, I've been studying psychology for 50 years, and I don't know how to stop that. And maybe what you're saying is realization is the first step.
You got it, Donna. Yes. Let me first see it. Let me first see what matters to me. And then somewhere in my copy, in how I structure my company, and like, if you don't like being told what to do, and Dottie, have we encountered that sometimes? It's like you have told me about that.
Yes, I have. Right?
Yeah. So think about what an important, it doesn't give it enough respect. I like it, but what an important, I'll call it that for lack of a better word now, but the button is a pointer to what matters to us. Okay. So then when you're designing your programs, for instance, if it comes in like this, I mean, you should do this and that, it's not going to work for you or for your clients, but some programs and some people thrive on that. They really do. It's just freaking tell me what to do. Tell me to do this and then this and then this. But interestingly, Dottie, you've got a side of you that also wants that sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. And those, this is fabulous knowing for how to accept your company. I haven't said, hey, it goes exactly to this yet. But if we haven't done the investigative work, we won't even know that that's a core piece to, like Mary Kay and flexibility, you and being told what to do. So there are really important keys about what your core values are and how that company should manifest itself in the world. If you're going to find a company that is right for you, or the one that you build, if you're going to find the right people that you want to work with that are your ideal clients and not somebody else's, right? So, and to let it sit for a little bit, because we just did a writing piece, I'm thinking about Natalie Goldberg. She's a wonderful writer on writing. And, you know, she says you should write every day. Well, you could see why now, like all this came out of it, like a 5-minute writing, okay? And so like, here I am doing writing in 10 minutes. And then people say, well, what should I do with that, Natalie? You know, I've written for 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, I've got to do something. Like, what should I do next? And she says, I don't know, put it down, go get a glass of water. You know, like, trust that there's something like this. This goes to the theme of the opening series too. Trust that there's something bigger. Trust that I'm moving in a direction that is that has support behind it. Trust that I'm learning one more piece that's going to help me understand who I am and what matters to me and what the company is that I'm meant to build. That makes sense? If I'm going, I have to know immediately yesterday or else everything's going to fall apart because then I'm being like that person jamming the fork in the toaster or the knife in the toaster, right? And I'm doing it again. And then the little story will remind me and might shake me loose from that. All right. One more piece that I want to give you in this opening series. So, and then continue the discussion over there on the Facebook page. I strongly encourage you to go do that and get on connection calls with each other and go in a call with Marie and go see Yvonne, come into a private session with me if that's part of your journey or ask the questions here, multiple places to get support and to take this journey further. There's one last piece that I wanted to give you in this opening series. Where's the book? All right. So, we're going to places, does that make sense? And Dottie, again, if you'd mute your line, that would be great. We're going to places that are sometimes challenging. If you heard that today, raise your hand. Yes, thank you, right? And as entrepreneurs, I think it's the best personal development program ever is to be an entrepreneur. Oh my goodness. The places that it has us go to serve their clients, to serve from the deepest place, to not get our own stuff caught up as we're in a strategy session or whatever it is, right? It is fabulous personal development. And if we're going to go to those dark places, how do we maintain our balance through that so that we can do the work, right? And so that we can remember that we've got the universe behind us and so on and so forth, all the pieces that we've been working on all through this series. I just want to give you a single word, grounded, grounded. Want to stay grounded. Well, am I always going to be grounded? No, it's okay. I don't, you know, sometimes I'm grounded, sometimes I'm not. But what is it? I just want you to, what is the nature of groundedness is a great investigation. And I just wanted to give it to you as an image today. All right. And this is from a book about yoga called Awakening the Spine. Beautiful book by Vanda Scarvelli. And she has this picture of the eagle. I'm just going to read to you first. She says a white head. Let me show you first. Can you see the eagle? Two pictures of it. She says this is a white-headed sea eagle in flight. She says the eagle lands onto a tree stump. Note the maximum stretch of the legs, which point exactly to where the animal is going to land, and the outstretched wings. This dual movement is the result of gravity. So this I learned, and it goes beyond the scope of what we're doing today. I just want you to get the gist of it. Yoga teaches us this, like we reach and reach. Can you see this? Like reaching out from, and in our going into this icky stuff, right? We're also reaching for the best and the highest of us, right? Like Marie here too, right? It's like we're reaching. And then we want like these, like eagles, the talons, right? Reaching to the ground, and yoga includes these opposite movements. We find the ground, and if you've done a little bit of this work with me, even a little bit, like the groundedness, feeling our feet on the earth, feeling rooted, right? Walking in bare feet, sometimes we don't even touch the earth, you know, anymore, right? Feeling our feet in the ground, and then from that, we can reach to the sky. So the question that I want to leave you with today is, you know, what allows you in your daily life to feel grounded? And there's not one answer for anybody on this call. There's going to be many, many different answers. But what is the nature of groundedness? And what is it that allows me to stay grounded or to return to groundedness? Because it's okay if there's an ebb and flow of things. And I'll give you as an example yesterday when my daughter was totally freaking out over her exam. And it was manifesting in physical symptoms that disappeared when the exam ended. It was just, she was having a hard time. For me, I talked to a friend. I do Shavasana. Sometimes I didn't last night, but I have a hot bath. I go for a walk. I lean in with my teachers. I connect with a family member or friend. I lean in with teachings that I know allow me to be grounded. I go in with trainings about equanimity, that all is well. And I learned that in my body with Shavasana, that all is wellness. And I integrate it in my body every single day as I start my day that way. And this teaching, I've noticed I've missed more days of beginning Shavasana this year than I have since 2006. Right? It's so interesting in the imbalance of COVID. So I know that I need to reintegrate my practice. I've missed a handful of days since 2006 and probably more into 2020 than all the other years. It's still only a handful of days. So returning to the practices that allow me to be grounded so that like that eagle, we can soar. So like Dottie did in her investigation with and for us today around that, you know, what is it about that moment as he's angry? So we can have the presence to investigate without getting all caught up in it. And I saw Dottie doing that so beautifully. And it's easy to get caught. And in moments, we could see it. If we rewound and watched this video again, that would be instructive. There were moments where Dottie could maybe start to almost get caught because it's very sticky. But mostly, for the most part, Dottie stayed pretty free. It seemed to me, Dottie, you stayed free. I'm just watching. I'm just noticing. So we want things that allow us to stay grounded so we can do that investigation and stay grounded also so we don't go, okay, well, I need to know the 10 things that, you know, what's this supposed to do for me right now or else, blah, blah, right? And then we go back to that thing. No. All the teachings of the opening series. Like Ron Weasley, I have the wind at my back. I have my lucky potion. I know that there's more than just me making this happen. I can take inspired action. I don't have to worry about going in the wrong direction enthusiastically. It's all perfect. Because I can course correct as I go. When I run into that difficult place, I can transmute it and find the gold there for all of who I am, which itself reminds me that I'm not alone here. That there's something bigger that is a force behind me. I find whatever it is that keeps my feet on the earth so that I can reach to the sky. And all of these are absolutely company building practice. And I go back to that example of the woman who was asking me, well, I'm not getting myself out there. Will you give me, you know, something to do? And I could have said, well, make 10 phone calls today and do the, you know, tactical things, which we do sometimes. Those are important too. But again, she could do that till the cows come home. But if she's missing the pieces in this opening series, she's going to stop again. She's going to run into problems until and unless she knows both what that thing is. It was about safety for her. Until she knows where those buttons are, until she can transmute it and find something bigger and beautiful, like those outstretched wings of that beautiful eagle, because you're all designed. We are all designed to soar. Jot down one thing about groundedness for you. One aha about it, and one way that you know you can return to groundedness. I gave you, 10 of mine. Thank you. Just wrapping up that writing, taking it to a place where you can come back to it at a later time, but at least have the seed of what matters most to you here. What does this apply? How does this apply to me? And letting it be your own. And that's about the piece around groundedness. So then we can return to a mini consolidation of this entire call. We did a lot in this call. This is a hugely rich call. And again, this is you guys stepping up. This is my favorite explanation and embodied, description with Dottie's story here of what transmutation is, how it works, why it matters so much to us as entrepreneurs. So this is a really, really rich call. If you heard even one piece of what was going on here, this is company changing and life changing for you. And if you didn't, don't worry, the recording's there for you, right? So what I want to end up this call, as we always do, just with a reminder, next week, quantum leaps. Oh my goodness. From the grounding of the opening series, right? Knowing that we have the wind at our back, knowing that we can create something so much bigger, knowing that we don't have to do it ourselves, right? Having ways to create inspired action, then what do we train it on? Where should we even be aimed at? And something that is manifestable, and then how do we actually do that? All of that coming up next week. So please make sure you complete that survey by tomorrow. It's going to help and serve you, just a survey alone. And then carve out some time to be rested, to be alive and awake, so that you can take in everything that we're going to be doing next week. It's going to be, I know, an outstanding time together. And then we'll end this call with one aha and one inspired action, so that we both can see what the gift is for us, always seeing the gift, seeing what we love. And then something so that we know it's not just head knowledge, that it's having a real impact, and we're taking action out there in the world. So Dottie, you're up in my left-hand corner. You're up first, one aha and one inspired action.
A big aha for me is that the continued kind of orphan thinking, oh, I've got to get the answer. I've got to get, can't rest. Just always have to, I'm on my own here. What do I do next? Tell me. Is exhausting. And I'm tired a lot. And taking zillions of dollars worth of supplements and it hasn't worked. And now I know why.
Dottie, brilliant. And you look like you just lost 20 years, and don't try to recapture that moment of 1 second ago, but in your laughter, in your smiles, like, oh my goodness, in every single piece of what you just said, there's something that unplugs each piece of it through this whole series. And I'm so glad you're hearing it. Thank you. What's your inspired action?
My inspired action is I'm going to try to follow your direction of write more.
Yes, good.
I'm going to go through the notes and find out what you said. That lady recommended a sentence. What's not going on? What's going on here or something? And so I'm going to start writing more.
Yeah. What's the nature of is a great place to investigate. Yes.
Oh yeah. What's the nature of? Thank you.
Love it. Thank you. Beautiful. Andrea, you're up.
It's funny that you brought up what's the nature of, because that's the thing that has really stuck out for me. And I think I don't even know what I'm saying here. That exploration, not imploration, is something that could be like truly, truly fascinating. So what I'm going to do is notice some of the things that are going on, whether it's a struggle or whether it's even just a perception, and try to lean into what's the nature of that. Like truly, like even just thinking about what's the nature of groundedness. It's like, oh, what do I think that is? Yes, so that's exactly. So a little exploration over the next.
And I love that you said exploration, imploration, because explore is out there in the world. Even our language tells us about how our culture sees the world. Explore, go out there in the world. And then we say an inner exploration, but the world exploration is kind of like out there. I kind of like that imploration. Would that be inward? Imploration. So there's hard action. yes, exactly. Your inspired action, Andrea.
That was it. To actually to notice what's going on in my head, like even just the word groundedness, I've never actually explored what I think that is. I've actually always said I don't actually feel very grounded. I'm not a grounded person. But I don't even know what that means to me to say that I'm not that, which is right. A really interesting thing. So groundedness is a good place to start, I'm thinking.
Oh, brilliant. I'm not a grounded person. We go around saying that, then that is, and we don't even know what groundedness is. And then that at the root of our company, this is life and company changing. Oh, what's the nature of grounded? Wow, why am I saying I'm not a grounded person? What would it mean to change that? What even is it? And that creates a different company, a different life. Andrea, beautiful. Thank you. Love it. Wendy, you're up next.
I am in some funky energy. So just a thing, like a really big reminder for me today is to just trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
And to just show up and keep going and keep doing and being here and listening and knowing that it's sinking in when I don't think that it is.
I love that. I love that. You know, there's a meditation that I listen to sometimes to go to, it's designed to go to sleep. And I've listened to it countless times. And sometimes I go, that wasn't in there before, because maybe I'm off in the sleep or I'm just falling asleep at that time. And then I was kind of vaguely reminiscent. I know that that has gone in somewhere and it changes the nature of my sleep. I have my Fitbit to tell me that it does, you know, but I don't consciously know it, but I know it's gone in somewhere. And that also is a trusting of that larger universe that hey, I might not consciously know, but there's a lot more going on than just this surface level of where we think we live our lives. Beautiful, Wendy. Yes. What's your inspired action?
I think just spending some time. I mean, as you were talking about your things, I started writing down my things that helped me be grounded. So I wrote down like breath is a big thing and recognizing the breath and then connecting with nature. So I'm going to spend some time outside.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you, Wendy. Yes. Marie, you're next.
My aha is like a reminder that beyond the big energy is a core value. Yeah, there's a lot rippling out from that. And my inspired action, it was going to be, you know, writing about what's the nature of groundedness, but now I want to write about what's the nature of imploration. I love that word.
I love it. Beautiful, fun, playful. And I love the way this, you know, what is the nature of has been echoing through this call. Love it. Yes. Thank you. Mary Kay.
Well, I looked up what boredom was defined as, and then it made more sense to me. And it was came up just wearied by tedious repetition. That makes sense. So then I went through the whole little exercise and came up with kind of a core value. I haven't been including in my business, and it is never give up. And so, and I'm writing in some writing I'm doing, that's my inspired action. I can weave that in.
Mary Kay, brilliant and beautiful. A core value discovered to weave through your marketing to understand that that's a core piece for which clients you should be working with and how you work with them. and just from one piece of the call, we didn't explicitly say, okay, define your core value. And you did it right along while we were teaching and training and discussing and doing. Well done. Beautiful. Thank you all. I have loved this call and this series. You guys have been playing full out, and it shows this is my favorite opening series ever, 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 hands down. I've never said that at the end of any opening series in that way ever. Marie, have you ever heard me say that? It's been outstanding. You guys are amazing. You guys inspire me to no end. I love you dearly. Have a fantastic week. Keep posting your questions, keep reaching out, keep leaning in, and I will see you sometimes in private sessions, sometimes in the Facebook page if you tag and text me, and I will see you next Thursday. Please remember to hand in your surveys. We're doing a deep dive next Thursday that has the possibility to rock all our worlds when we play full out, which I know you have been doing. So thanks so much. We'll see you next week.